Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and right now our guest is Stephen Black. He's an author, and he's also organizing a conference called God's Voice Conference, and it's related to the issue of human sexuality from a Christian perspective. And Stephen, you've been on before. You were talking about a book that you wrote which detailed the struggle in your life coming out of homosexuality to freedom in Christ and through Christ. You want to just tell us about that briefly, and then we'll get right into this issue of the conference.
Sure. I wrote a book as a unfortunate, the aftermath of the implosion of Exodus. I tell about that. But the main part of the book was to look at 25 years of people that came through our ministry, and we found out, bottom line, that more than 72% of the people found lasting freedom. I came out of homosexuality 35 years ago, lived gay identified for 8 years, and then 35 years ago had this transformative experience, and I wrote a book about all of that and how people can find lasting freedom. And then 16 other leaders that had 20 years of experience also wrote about that. The book is called Freedom Realized, and it has its own website, freedomrealized.org.
Huh. Very good. By the way, the statistic you just gave about the other people with other ministries, I bet you if you added up the amount of years represented in that, it would probably get into the few hundreds or maybe several hundreds.
Yes.
Which is interesting because we're constantly told, no, once gay, always gay. Or, well, but this fellow says that he was and now isn't and is practicing, you know, heterosexuality or whatever, is free from this because of Jesus and the gospel. Yeah, well, he wasn't really gay then. If he's not doing it, so it's sort of a win-win for them and, you know, lose-lose for everybody else, essentially.
Yeah. It's very much like the opposite of what would be communicated of a person breaking free from alcohol addiction or drug addiction. The reality is we would cheer on those people. But anyone coming out of homosexuality or LGBTQ+, you know, it's viewed with great condemnation.
Okay, so tell us about this God's Voice Conference. What's the reason for it in the first place?
Yeah, thank you for that, because, you know, many people are still very unaware that there was a conference held by some, people that are influential, that are a part of the PCA Church, the Southern Baptist Church, the Presbyterian Church of America. It was held in a Presbyterian church in St. Louis called Revoice. And what this was basically, in their own words, they're wanting to encourage and empower LGBTQ people so that they can be a gay Christian. So they put LGBTQ in front of Christ, and that they are saying they're going to be gay Christian and yet follow a historic Christian tradition. And so God's Voice wants to confront some of the bad theology, and also to confront this idea that sexual orientation doesn't change, because that's one of the foundational pieces that they're propagating, is that that these LGBTQ plus Christians are a sexual minority. And this is new terminology, like mixed orientation marriages, and that the church needs to embrace this LGBTQ Christianity. And although they're saying they're celibate, some of these same people are consistently hanging out with people who are embracing gay marriage and homosexual behavior. So this is very troubling. And so what God's Voice is going to do is it's going to offer a lot of insight, the history, the workings of this, the theology, and the main part is to give hope and freedom for people to find lasting freedom, that you don't have to be stuck in an LGBTQ Christian identity. What we want to provide is hope to be centered in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and to find freedom and liberty. And there will be testimonies to that and some good teaching. And they can go to godsvoice.us to read about the speakers and bios.
And there's
and
no
the, actual schedule.
And no apostrophe for that. What does the term, I can understand exactly what God's voice means for the title of your conference. I don't understand what revoice means. What is that title? What are they saying?
Well, that they're wanting to change the language. They're wanting to make sure, and they're even using the word queer and queering, that there will be queer treasure in heaven. And they are using even the discussion of what's called queer theology, which is filled with blasphemy. But they're wanting this new terminology, this new revoicing, to come into the church to make it acceptable, to love, quote unquote, you know, these victim, broken, bullied, gay Christians. And I'll be the first one in doing pastoral care of people that struggle that, yes, many times they are victims, but they're actually coming at the church in a victim mentality mindset. And it's not that they're content to say, you know, we want to be gay Christians. No, they're actually wanting to propagate a gay Christian, LGBT Christianity for mainline evangelicals to embrace.
I find that astounding, especially within the PCA. Now, I'm sure that does not reflect the general views of the PCA as a denomination. There's just no way. I mean, D. James Kennedy was the founder of this radio station. I'm talking to you on a radio station, ultimately, that the vision and ministry of D. James Kennedy himself helped create. And he was PCA, and there's no way he would have agreed with that, or, you know, other the key people within the PCA. And I don't think the PCA is changing on that. So I don't know. Maybe it was just one church that did it, and maybe they lacked the PCA rebuking them or something. I'm not sure.
Well, with the young people, there is a lot of questioning going on. And the target audience for Revoice and the idea of LGBTQ revoicing of the church are the millennials and youth pastors. So they're not going to the pastors. They're going to people that are younger that will embrace this idea so that the next generation is much more, quote-unquote, tolerant. And thus, that is why the God's Voice Conference is so badly needed. It's never been this bad in the evangelical world, where there is now an erosion of acceptance of all things LGBTQ. So they call this thing queering, or the queering treasure. It's the idea of what effeminate males and very masculine females, and that's their terminology, queers, would offer to the church in their varieties of giftings, as they are in their broken state, their unnatural desires. And so it's being normalized in this generation. That's why God's voice is so needed today.
Well, okay, so what do these people do? Take a razor blade and they take their Bibles and they cut out 1 Corinthians 6, they cut out Romans 1 and other verses?
No, they actually would say that there's varying levels of that that's true, and so they would say they're embracing the most of them a celibate or identity. The problem is they are really not called to celibacy, because on one side they say that they have a raging sexual desires for their same sex. So actually, they have sexual desire strong. So they're broken, and so they're wanting to propagate their brokenness and their identity and their internal world of lust and desire, and normalize it. And so they're actually communicating that they are victims, and that they are suffering, and that the church needs to accept them as a minority group, a sexual minority group.
Well, I can see the idea of accepting people as they are, and then Christ changes them. So, in other words, if let's say you have a fornicator that comes to faith in Christ and gets changed from the inside out, is changed by the gospel, but you know, a group of such people wouldn't start an organization called Fornicators for Christ. I mean, that sounds almost absurd, but that's kind of, seems to me from the outside, what they're trying to do, if I understand you correctly.
You're understanding it perfectly. That is what they're doing, and they do it very whimsically. They do it very kindly, and they communicate it in a sense, we truly are victimized by the church. All you have to do is go look at the YouTube videos of their conference, and even in their testimonials of the people that testified in their teachings, it was over and over and over replayed an idea that they are a subset, a minority group, that has been very oppressed by the church and very wounded, and they are gay, they are queer, they are bisexual, they are lesbian and transgendered people that need the church's acceptance, and that is their message.
Wow. How did Exodus, since you mentioned them earlier, how did they go astray?
Well, bottom line, it was an antinomianistic teaching that was brought in, which is hyper grace. You know, taking grace and basically saying, you know, if you have a mentalist sin and a belief in the historical facts of Jesus, it doesn't really matter what you do, your behavior doesn't matter. And then this same psychological piece that says that orientation doesn't change or rarely changes from Mark Yarhouse. So you had Mark Yarhouse presenting that idea in his white paper on Christianity and gender sexuality. And then Clark Witten's message on grace, which he called pure grace, and you mix that together and you get Alan Chambers saying, well, I can't change, I don't change, I'm in a mixed orientation marriage because I'm a gay man married to a heterosexual woman. And so that actually got to a place now where Alan and others actually proclaimed that God blesses gay marriage and being homosexual. And so his vice president now is, you know, living with a man in a gay relationship and is very critical of myself and others that are holding the biblical orthodox view.
It's almost as if a spirit of deception, and by the way, we only have about a minute left, it's as if a spirit of deception is descending on America, but in America's churches in some cases.
It really is, Jerry. It's this idea of really needing to be compassionate, and they're doing it
and we
without
do need
the truth.
We do need to be compassionate. I agree
right.
with that. And we need to, you know, love broken people. How about, okay, half a minute on your own personal journey in terms of acceptance within the church, but not acceptance for your sin.
I am so grateful that I had men of God that taught me the fear of the Lord and how to repent and how to deal with my internal world to find lasting freedom. And I am forever grateful for that. I have experienced real change.
All right, Stephen Black, his website is, well, for the conference itself, it's godsvoice.us, and then also his own website for more information as well is freedomrealized.org. Thank you so much, Stephen. God bless you.
Thank you, Jerry. God bless you.
Okay, bye-bye now.